And we're live. This is the show.
Hey.
Oh, I've lost Terry's image somewhere. Well then, I'll have to
technical difficulties.
I'll have to get it back. It's because I didn't put it on my desktop. I normally would put it on my desktop.
He has hack the mainframe first.
I just dragged it from my. We're live. We're going. But
hey.
You talk while I do things. There we go.
So, is anyone in the chat? I don't know if there are.
No, probably not. It's okay,
though. Which number is this?
This is number 68. We're getting close to 100. We'll break it this year if I do a podcast every week. We won't break it this year, but we'll probably break 100 around the time that we hit 2 years of this podcast. Which is
awesome, man.
For the 100th episode, every guest you ever had, all in one chat room.
I will try to do that. There's a few people that probably will not want to come on. Or not want to, but maybe not have time. Like, I'll probably be hard-pressed to, like, get Cat Icarus to come do a podcast.
Oh, Kid Icarus.
But there are other people who I could maybe try to get who are not as busy. But, no, I'll try to do something big for 100. But, that's a ways off. We'll figure that out when we get there.
Or do a, for the 100th episode, do a 24-hour episode.
That sounds...
A podcast for 24 hours. I've never heard of a podcast for 24 hours. You could be the first.
I could do it. And then we could just, like, not do podcasts for 24 weeks and just break them up and release them.
Ooh. That has your whole season or, you know,
it's
whatever...
Like, that's like half of a year's of podcast.
Yeah, like by hour 7. And yes, Super Samicom has passed out on the mic, so it's just Ryan and the others.
And the final hour is like, it's just complete dead silence. Hour 24, no one's there.
Occasional humming of a song, the fan in the background buzzing.
Every once in a while, I like roll over on my keyboard and like some window sounds goes off. It's like... Do you want to enable sticky shift keys? Just like pops up. No. So
anyways.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the 68th episode of the Dapper Gaming Podcast for August 10th. I'm your host, Ryan. We're without Joe this week. Because that dude moved at, like a couple weeks ago and just doesn't have internet yet. Hopefully he'll figure that out by the time that I get back from my trip, because, a little silly that he still has no internet.
Yes, when bad man's away, it appears Tentacle comes to play, because I'm the temporary replacement for now.
Yes, so, thank you, Ryan and Terry, for jumping on and, helping me fill out this week's cast.
I'm excited to be here. I'm glad I'm back. I wasn't just a one-off.
You were so good, I invited you back.
I feel honored.
Yeah, this isn't a one-night stand. It's a long-term relationship now.
Yeah, see, you like Terry are now locked in. Anytime I need a guest, you're just...
Oh, good.
Hey,
see, I'm the backup.
I was too busy at work to message random people on Skype all week. Come on, my podcast. That is normally how that happens. It's like, I've been too busy to harass everyone I know to find out the Skype accounts of other people. But,
You should just have, like, a group. Like, I think in Skype you can have, like, groups. And just have sent out a mass message. It's like, hey, what are you doing this weekend?
Just, like, add everyone and be like, what are you doing on Sunday? All of a sudden, like, 30 people are like, I'm free. It's like, we can't fit you all. Now I have to pick favorites. That's dangerous. It's a dangerous game. But thank you guys for coming back on the podcast. Terry for like the 8th time. Ryan for the 2nd. Terry comes on a lot. Every time that Joe is gone, I'm like, hey,
I'm
around?
I'm like a reoccurring guest now, it seems.
He's like another host. That's how often he is here. But what have you guys been doing as of late? I know Ryan's got a weird thing going on. It was worrying. I was like, is he dead? Is he around for this podcast?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Should I be scared? Are you going to die?
Well, it's not me. It's my character. So, just throwing out a curveball to anyone that actually follows my YouTube channel.
Sorry, just quick thing. Ryan, your mic is, like, really scratchy, and I don't know if it's because you're using that mic in that headset. Or
about
if it's
now?
Something else. Yeah, it's gone now.
Okay, good. I had this, like, little thing that connects here, but it's probably hitting the side of my chin. So, yep. So, yeah, put up a website. Thinking of doing, it's some sort of, if you ever heard of, like, those alternate reality games, like, back in the Halo 2 days, I Heart Bees.
They still do those ARGs, alternate reality games.
Yeah, so I'm doing something like that on my channel. So, and you can go check it out at willryandie.com. What will happen? Who knows? But I'm having a lot of fun doing it. And right now, I actually don't know where it's going to end up. So I'm in the same boat with everyone else because I just thought it's like, it'd be a cool idea to do this. Oh, now I actually have to deliver something.
No, so. You can just be like, there was a company that did an ARG that you could like pay, you had to pay a monthly sub and like you would get these updates. And at the end, like the end, there was supposed to be $1 million prize for like whoever found it, like actually hidden out in the world. But that's I don't awesome. Think they ever ended it.
Oh. All right, then. So that, they that's just like got a, everyone's money.
That's like a really great way to do that. You just take everyone's money, or you get everyone like really interested, and then you just like keep adding on forever.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just get uninterested, and then you don't have to worry about delivering.
That reminds me of a $1 million prize contest that was going to happen. It was for an Xbox game called Advent Rising. I know this is really off topic, but if you bought Advent Rising, you were entered into a contest for $1 million, but no one bought Advent Rising, so the contest never happened. There was, like, they did not get enough, I guess there was not enough copies sold to really warrant a prize, so.
That seems like a dumb way to try to, like, as a promotional, like, a promotional gimmick, it seems like a shitty one, because it's like, you could win $1 million if you spend $60, but I mean, that's just playing the lottery, and I could just go play the lottery for $1.
Yeah. And apparently Advent Rising wasn't really that good either, so I think the reviews also hurt that game's chances. It was supposed to be like, because Halo was on the Xbox, and they were saying Advent Rising was going to be kind of like the next big blockbuster. They already planned like a series or something, but it never hit off the ground after one. So, anyways, enough dumb Xbox trivia. That's what I've been doing. Just reciting dumb Xbox trivia and making a website about if I'll die or not. What has everyone else been up to?
Why don't you start, Terry? Because I don't have that much.
I've been doing a weekly late-night stream with Super Samicom, Wally the Legend, Pozzy, and Darsley Duke, also known as the 8-Bit Duke. So all former guests, I believe, or at least some have been former guests on this podcast.
Everyone but Pozzy. I should message that guy just to round out the whole crew and be like, hey, you want to come on a podcast?
So we've
is that doing... he has another podcast that is also about video games, which makes it hard.
Yeah, we've...
It's like a
He's been hosting a thing called the late night lounge, which happens every Friday night. And effectively, what's happened is they all get drunk, and then by 2 hours, it's complete and utter nonsense. Someone falls asleep on a microphone, and we just mock each other's sex lives. So besides that, I've been playing a bit of Fallout because I don't know. A few friends that keep talking about it on Twitter and such, and. Youngtown's new video as well. It's like it just all links together. I should play Fallout.
Fallout is super fun. Which are you playing? Like, are you playing Fallout Original 2, 3, New Vegas?
I have the originals on my PC, but I don't know why I don't connect to them as well as Fallout 3. I guess it could be because I didn't grow up with PC gaming as much as console gaming, and I prefer the whole way the Fallout 3 has changed the series format, although I know some people prefer the over-top aspect to it. But yeah, I've been playing Fallout 3, trying out the DLC for the first time, surprisingly, even though I have the Game of the Year edition.
It's super fun, Fallout 3. That's actually the only kind of Bethesda game that I've beaten.
I own Fallout 3, but I have it for PC, and it's garbage. Yeah, because it crashes all the time. I got about like halfway through that game. I got to like where you. Terry, how far into that game are you?
Oh, I finished. I was just doing the DLC. So.
You know the part where you're like in that neighborhood, like pre-bomb, and it's like in like some kind of mind thing, like you're in like a computer simulation or something, and it's like halfway through the game, and. Mm. Then, like, the town gets invaded by, like, the Chinese or something, and things go bad. So after that, my save got corrupted, and it was, like, halfway through the game, and it was, like, gone. Like, I had to start the whole game over again, and I was like, ha, you're funny, game. You want me to start over? I'm just not going to turn you on ever again.
What do you think of that?
Yeah, pretty much. So, like... Fallout 3 is still really buggy. Like, this is, like, a year and a half ago that that this happened to me, which is why I've never bothered to beat Fallout 3. Because, like, it's just always been so buggy that I just have issues with it, and then I lose save files and crap. So, I just never play it. New Vegas, I like a lot more. That game was able to be finished without any huge technical hurdles. So...
I'm waiting on, I haven't tried Vegas, but I know if there is a Fallout 4 that comes out, I will definitely get that, so.
I just like New Vegas a lot more, like, it's more interesting of a game world as well, it's in Vegas, obviously, the California Republic is, like, involved in it, as well as, like, a bunch of other people. It's just kind of interesting. Also, there's this one, like... faction in that game that is basically the Roman army.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They're interesting. But that game I actually bothered to finish, unlike 3. Also, Vegas, like, the world is just more populated with stuff. Like, it's a little bit smaller, but there's things in all of it.
There's more things you can do, kind of.
Yeah. It's like, this map is smaller than the map in 3, but there's things in all of the map, not just run 10 minutes across nothingness, which was one of my other complaints about Fallout 3. Sorry, I just have to close this window. It's lots of cars are driving by. Go, talk.
talking. Do what?
That's what I've already been playing, Fallout 3. I mean, I've been playing games for upcoming videos, but mentioning all of those games will be very tiresome.
What upcoming games for videos? Hint, hint. Any name drops? Game drops?
There was meant to be a mech month ages ago, so if you like mecha-themed games, there's a few videos planned, but yeah.
I'm down with that.
Mech games are pretty sick. At least the old ones are. You should play Hawken, though. That game's amazing.
Yeah, the ones I've got, I discussed a few of the modern ones that have recently come out, and there's certainly a dip in quality.
Steel Battalion. That was good. Xbox, not 360. We don't talk about that one.
What are you talking about? I love that one. It doesn't play. You can't play it. So, I've not really played any video games this week, but I'm willing to talk about the video games I've been making this week. So, I didn't sign any kind of, like, employment contract when I started working where I work, so I'm not, like, under NDA or anything. So, I can talk about whatever I want. So, for work, like, right now I'm making 3 different games. One of them is for work, and the other two I'm making, like, in my spare time. So a couple weeks ago, I started making it like a phone game. It doesn't really have a name yet, but there, it's basically a ripoff of this weird Japanese arcade game where you play like a dad and he like starts smashing the dinner table, and then it makes everyone like mad at him that's at the dinner table, and then he flips the table and everyone like goes flying and you break everything in the room and you like get points for the stuff that you break. And I'm basically like making that for phones because I thought that would be really easy and kind of dumb.
I like
so,
it.
So, yes, the 30-second pitch is you flip a table and break things. There's a little bit more involved in, like, more to it than that. Like, there's a level that I've made where you're on top of a skyscraper and you, like, flip the table. And the table, like, smashes through other buildings, like, windows and stuff, and then goes into those buildings. So,
awesome.
If you do it just right, you can theoretically, like, supercharge the table to, like, smash through buildings, which is fantastic, if you ask me.
Can you get power-ups and stuff? Like, table, or...
Well, if you, like, hit certain, like, power-ups in the game with the table, then the table, like, gets a speed boost or, like, gets heavier or things like that. Because it's all based around, like, Unity's physics engine, so it's mostly me just, like, modifying physics properties, like making shit heavier or faster.
Mm-hmm. I'd play it.
But so that's a game that I started where like I got it mechanically done, but it's gonna take me too long. Like, I need to make 3D models for the game so that it doesn't look like ass, because right now like you're just flipping a square block and like at other square blocks, which is garbage. But the other game that I'm making, I decided to make because I have the time and the money to make this one all by myself in a week. So it's kind of like, I was sort of inspired by, do you know who Slowbeef is? He's from Red Supre.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like just been playing like shoot 'em ups lately and like talking about them all the time on his Twitter feed. And I was like, I wonder if I could make like a good shoot 'em up on phones. The answer is probably yes, but I'm not making a shoot 'em up. But it's kind of like a shoot-em-up. So, like, in a shoot-em-up, you're always shooting, which is the concept for this game, where you are always shooting. So you're, like, a little, space dude holding a giant laser. And the giant laser is, like, shooting down at this, like, space monster that's chasing you. And you have to shoot the monster with the laser to, like, push yourself up. And so, like, wherever you're pushing, like, pressing on the screen is where you're shooting the laser. And then, like... Yeah. It applies different forces to you, so, like, rotate your character and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then it, like, pushes you away from it. And it's basically, like, vertical helicopter. Also, the space monster shoots things out of it every once in a while that you have to, like, dodge or shoot with the laser. And so, like, that's kind of the concept for the game. So you're kind of, like, playing it like this, like, moving the laser back and forth so that you, like, don't hit the walls and... don't hit things that are coming from below you and above you.
I like it.
Yeah, I just thought that I would throw that together this week because it's not hard. Like, it's a sprite game, so you can throw it together in a couple days. Like, I pretty much at this point just have to, like, do menus.
Okay, so what is, like, is it, like, a week's worth of time for developing this?
I pretty much developed all of the gameplay Friday and Saturday. Like, Friday night and Saturday afternoon.
Okay.
So, not very long at all. I was like, this is a really simple idea. I bet I could make this work on a phone in, like, a couple of hours.
I've always thought about doing a choose-your-own-adventure sort of game. Because I know YouTube has annotations, and I've seen a lot of people do that. But I've always thought about that. Actually, me and my roommate have thought about that a long time ago, and one day I'll put that together. But even doing that, it's like, okay, if you click on this one, you go to this one, but and then if you click on this one, it's not just like go to A and B. I wanted to add stuff. It's like, oh, go to this scene and then pick up this key, and then I have to remember that this person has this key to unlock other scenes to go to. It it's hard.
If you were to actually put it together as a game, if you, like, had basic programming knowledge, you could probably do it. Because it's mostly, just tracking stuff. You would never be able to do it with the YouTube stuff because, like, you can't know what they've watched. Like, that's the issue. Like, you have to make your own platform for it.
Could I do it in Flash?
Yeah, you could do it in Flash.
And then put it on Steam Greenlight.
And put it on Steam Greenlight. You could probably do that. You could do it in Unity and just use JavaScript. That's
know.
Even easier than Flash.
I don't know anything about JavaScript.
Well, this, do you know ActionScript? Because that's how you would have to do it in Flash, is ActionScript.
Oh, then I don't know anything about anything.
Well then, JavaScript I find is easier videos. Than ActionScript. JavaScript is just like the bullshit that they use in web programming to like make buttons make clicky sounds and stuff.
Oh, neat. And like add MIDIs to your GeoCities website?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about. JavaScript.
I was going to say, try Newgrounds if you're going to do that, because they seem to have interlaying videos like that.
Oh, do they?
In the past they did, yeah, where you could have like your own story, like a progression and such, but it's been a while since I've used Newgrounds, so who knows, they might have changed since then.
I'll have to look into it, because I mean, I can definitely make videos, you know, I could, you know, get a, what's it called? Flowchart of like what I want everything to do, but it's just connecting all those together. That's a challenge.
Well, when I get these projects done, maybe we'll talk.
Okay.
October-ish, maybe.
All right.
Because I will be done these two games and probably be wanting to make something else. Man, hopefully these two phone games work out. Because I have, like, an even better idea, but it's a PC game, and it would take a couple of months, and so I can't really, like... I would have to quit my job in order to have the time to actually do it, and then I don't have a means of paying rent, and that's an issue.
What if your games take off, like, the Flappy Bird effect or the Angry Birds effect?
Then I can just quit and do whatever I want, because I'll have millions of dollars.
Yeah, you wouldn't even need to work, really.
Well, I'd probably go back to school to finish up my degree.
Oh, okay.
Even though, just out of curiosity, I decided to like look at BioWare jobs the other day, and I meet the minimum requirements to be a software engineer, game systems designer, even though I don't have my degree yet, just because I have enough relevant work experience. So, that was interesting. Alrighty then, let's jump into some news. There are some things to talk about. So, it was revealed this week that Ganondorf is a playable character in Hyrule Warriors, and that you can fight with a Chain Chomp, and I'm kind of interested.
I'm interested in this game.
Yeah, so like Hyrule Warriors had like a Nintendo Direct on Monday, I think. Is that the day that they did it? Or maybe it was Tuesday.
I think it was Monday.
Yeah, it was Monday. And they basically announced, like, it's coming out end of September. And, like, this is all of the things that you can play. I think if you don't like Dynasty Warriors, then you still obviously don't really like this game. Unless you're into Zelda. In which case, you probably like this game just because you're into Zelda. But I'm actually interested in this game. I like Dynasty Warriors. I have the like Dynasty Warriors game for Wii U. It's not Dynasty Warriors. It's like Warriors Orochi, but same people, exact same gameplay, exact same story. So, but also has what's his name, Hayabusa from Ninja Gaiden.
Dead or Alive or Ninja Gaiden? Both,
yeah,
I guess.
And, like, a bunch of other characters from Ninja Gaiden, because there's also some time travel in this version of, in this Dynasty Warriors ripoff made by the same people who make Dynasty Warriors.
Alright, then.
Don't worry about it. It doesn't need to be confusing at all. But, Hyrule Warriors is still looking, like, I don't think it's a Wii U, like, system saver, but it's, for whatever reason, this game that is, like, bizarrely interesting. Because Nintendo's never really done anything like this. Like, they never let other people touch their properties. I think the closest thing that they have to this would be, like, Smash Bros.
Well, I guess Minish Cap on the Game Boy Advance. Capcom touched that.
Okay, yeah. And then, like, the couple Capcom games that are, while they're, like, really Zelda games, but made by Capcom.
Yeah.
Like, it's very rare that they let them, where, like, characters are taken out of their property and, like, done something not at all like what they're normally like.
Mm-hmm.
There's some things, though, about Hyrule Warriors that are really interesting as, like, a Dynasty Warriors mechanic. Like, they're taking the boss battles from Zelda and putting them into Hyrule Warriors, which is interesting because, like, Dynasty Warriors doesn't really have boss battles.
Yeah, so, like, for Dynasty Warriors, isn't it, like, you have to clear out a certain number of people at certain areas? Because I remember I played Dynasty Warriors maybe, like...
Yeah, basically it's just like, go to this place and kill all the people here. Go to this place and kill all the people here. But everyone's like super fucking easy to kill. So yeah,
they're just like fodder.
Yeah, so it's not like a big deal. Whereas this one is like, go here, kill all these people. Okay, now there's a boss fight.
Okay.
Now, in Zelda, you would normally be like, wait for this dude to open his mouth. Throw a bomb in it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Hyrule Warriors... from what it's been described to me as, it's like, get to this boss, throw all of the fucking bombs. Because, like, you have infinite bombs, so you can just keep throwing them. Whereas in, like, Zelda, it's like, you've got 10 bombs, don't fuck it up.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm interested. Like, I'm not much of a I'm not much of a Dynasty Warriors kind of person, but I think... it has the right mix of Zelda and Dynasty Warriors, because I don't know, it seems, because I've tried Dynasty Warriors. I think I remember trying like just an original Dynasty Warriors and I was like, eh, it's okay. Then I tried a Dynasty Warriors where it was like One Piece themed, because I think they had a One Piece Dynasty Warriors sort of thing.
They do a lot with that game.
Yeah, and also with that one, I was like, I like One Piece, but it's not getting any better. But for some reason, this one is really clicking to me. It's like pushing all the right buttons where you can upgrade or you can get skills for each person. And I don't know if that's also in Dynasty Warriors as well, but like there's a campaign, you can get skills for each person. And you have all these cool characters that are very memorable. Even if they were just side characters. But I don't know. I'm excited. I'm excited for it. September seems like a very busy month for me. Busier than it is, because I know Destiny is coming out and Hyrule Warriors and probably something else that I've...
That first week of October is killer. It's like two Assassin's Creed games and...
Is Evil Within coming in the first week or just in October?
I think
23rd.
It's... Oh, just that's the end then.
Because I know they moved it up.
Dragon Age used to be on the first week of October, but they got moved to the end of October. What else was there? A couple of games got delayed from that. Battlefield Hardline, that's the other one. It was like they were basically supposed to launch at the same time, but both of those got delayed. But there are still a few other games. I think there was a Capcom game on there.
Evolve got pushed back as well.
Oh, Evolve got pushed back? Because Evolve was also there.
Yeah, Evolve was going to be out the same week as Little Big Planet 3, Hardline, and something else. And it's been pushed back to February.
I'm glad they moved it away from Little Big Planet 3. That would have...
Yeah, I mean, that competition. But yeah, it's been pushed back to February at the moment. So that means in February you have Dying Light and Evolve. So if you're really into shooting monsters, I guess that's a positive for you.
I don't think I know anyone who's particularly interested in like Little Big Planet 3. I feel like 2 was enough.
Yeah, I think I got Little Big Planet 1 for free from the whole PlayStation Network outage, and I'm fine with that.
Like, they already announced that all the stuff from Little Big Planet 1 and 2 will work in Little Big Planet 3, but it's like, you just don't need any, like, there's just...
What else can you do?
Yeah, exactly. Everything has been done. There is nothing left to be done. And they're like, well, now you can, like, fly a little dude for a little bit. And it's like, whatever.
That's just making the maps themselves more complicated. Because in number two, they introduce things like balloons and such to make Sackboy jump higher and such. And now they've just gone and said, we're going to limit the powers and put them on new characters because we need to sell merchandise. Because the Sackboy keyrings sell really well here for some reason. I don't know what it is about Sackboy collectibles, but it seems to be a thing that sells.
Interesting. Oh, no. I mean, I like Little Big Planet, but it just didn't stick with me.
Yeah, it never really clicked for me as a game.
But yeah, back to Hyrule Warriors, the better game.
I know Americans are somewhat annoyed because in Europe there's two versions. There's a standard edition, and then you've got the collector's edition, which has the scarf, which Link wears.
Oh, you
in the
get
game.
The scarf?
Yeah, and that comes with all the DLC as well. But America being America, all the pre-order DLC is split apart in every store. So Best Buy gets one outfit, and Walmart gets an outfit, etc., etc.
That's really frustrating, actually. That bugged me about pre-orders, like, here. Because you can't really... It's like you have to pick where you want to pre-order from. This was an issue that I had way, way, way back with Dragon Age Origins. I decided not to buy that game on Steam. Fucking dumb idea, because it, like, has always been a huge pain in the ass not having it on Steam. I got it on a... Direct to Drive, which doesn't exist anymore, by the way, for their pre-order DLC. Arguably the best of the digital pre-order DLC, but they don't even exist anymore. So it was like, a huge pain in the ass downloading that game.
Does the DLC, cause, like, I know what a lot of some games do is, like, all the DLC will be separate, store-specific, and then later you can download it sometime.
It like binded to your BioWare social account and you have to download it from like a web browser. So no, it was not all released, but
that's dumb.
It's now on my like Origin account, thank God, so I can actually download the game easily, even though it's still a pain in the ass to get all the DLC. But wow. Yeah, they like distributed executables with the game for like all the pre-order stuff. There are patches.
It sucks with the whole pre-order thing, because I'm trying to stop pre-ordering, like, at brick-and-mortar stores, like, doing physical copies and doing more downloadable stuff. And so the only, I think, pre-order thing that you can get from downloading it is to have a Nintendo Club account to get, like, Ganondorf DLC. And that's all you get.
So. From what I know, it's all costume-based in America. That's been split apart. So if you want to be Skyward Sword Zelda, you have to go to this store. If you want to be Twilight Princess Zelda, you've got to go to this store, etc., etc. But in Europe, because we have such a limited amount of gaming outlets here, it's basically all the DLCs in this version. Go buy that, and you get a scarf. And in Japan, they get a clock instead.
They get what?
Don't they get a little chest that comes in?
Yeah, it comes with a chest, which was also with the DS game. And they also get a Triforce-shaped clock.
Jealous. America, we never get any good pre-order DLC here. Nintendo of America always gives us garbage pre-order DLC or, like, pre-order bonuses. Like... In here, like, for Mario Kart 8, you just got, like, a little poster that's about, like, this big, like, in real-world size. And it just says, like, Blue Shells ruining friendships since 1994 or something. 1996.
Thank you for the poster.
It's just, like...
That was stupid.
Yeah, and it's, like, one of those motivational posters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that, it looks exactly that. It's the laziest thing you could have ever done. Like, if you're gonna make a poster... This is the laziest way you could do it. It's just the blue shell asset, like a screenshot of it, basically. And then, like, on black. Great.
When I
Maybe they did an image search for it on Google before. Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, we'll print out that picture. That's, like, the first thing that pops up.
It's got this weird blur effect on it too that makes it look really gross.
Yeah, when I ordered Red Dead Redemption, it came with an A1 poster of the game cover. It literally took up my entire bedroom wall of just John Marston staring at me. It was brilliant. here, when it came to Mario Kart 8 for pre-orders, if you pre-ordered the game just itself, you got a steering wheel, Mario Kart 8 steering wheel. And if you got the special edition, you got the blue shell. And there were some outlets where they were giving out t-shirts and key rings as well.
Yeah, and those t-shirts were legit. Some of them were actually good. So I was pretty disappointed.
If you went to Nintendo Europe, it was a Bullet Bill shirt. And if you went to Shop 2, it was a Blue Shell shirt. And it says, coming second isn't too bad.
That's good. I like that one. Ruining friendships.
Yeah.
I shake my head at the ruining friendships poster, but I like the coming in second isn't too bad. Maybe that's just me. Yeah.
All right. So we've got some other stuff this week. So Sony is being sued. This is interesting. Sony is being sued for the Killzone Shadowfall's graphics. Basically, in multiplayer, the game doesn't run at 1080. It runs at like 960 by 1080 and uses a technique called temporal upscaling, which, like, basically what happens is, like, you have a pixel and you're tracking how it's moving on the screen, and then based on how the pixel's been moving, you like, or like what it's been changing to and like where this chunk of like game object is going,
mm-hmm.
you like predict where it's going to be, and so you like take chunks of the screen that have already been rendered and like move them on the screen to like other parts of the screen. So, like, if you had, like, a bullet, for example, and it, like, had a bullet trail, you could, like, take the bullet trail and be like, this is already rendered, and just, like, move it to another part of the screen instead of, like, re-rendering it. And
interesting.
It basically, it's a fancy form of upscaling that is not easy to do. Like, the logic behind it's very hard. And they needed to do it in the multiplayer in order to get the game to run at, like, a reasonable frame rate. Because... Mm-hmm. And since the game was advertised as plays at 1080p, some guy has decided to sue them because the game doesn't run at true 1080p, like, in its multiplayer. Even though
It launched at 60 frames per second, and a month later they had a patch at the 30 for the multiplayer.
Yeah, and, like, that's one of the reasons why they're suing. And it's just... it's really dumb. So basically, the technique that they're using is called a temporal reprojection, which is, like, basically uses the pixels and, like, motion vectors for a bunch of other frames that are lower resolution already,
mm-hmm.
and, like, reconstructs those into a full 1080p image, and then displays that.
I mean, that sounds really cool.
They're arguing that semantically it's not 1080p, and so they are opening up a class action lawsuit for, like, $5 million.
Didn't a guy sue EA over Battlefield 4 recently as well?
I think so. So this actually is being filed by the firm Edelson McGuire, which is the same company that sued Sony and EA, because Sony and EA had promised, like, a free copy of Battlefield 1943 for PS3 owners who purchased Battlefield 3. But then they just, like, never delivered the extra game. They are also the firm behind the class action lawsuit against Sega and Gearbox that alleges that the two companies falsely advertised Aliens Colonial Marines.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is probably just a thing because they think they can get money. They're very unlikely to get money this time.
Yeah, this one, because most multiplayer things... because I know, like, in Mario Kart, it has to dumb down to 30 frames in certain situations.
It doesn't dumb down to 30 frames. They drop the resolution when you move into multiplayer.
They drop the resolution, okay.
But it's not that they drop... So each screen is not at 1080p, basically. They, like, have the resolution for each half. So, like, mm-hmm. if you split it up into four, then, like, each player gets, like, a fourth of the regular resolution.
Mm-hmm.
But they're only taking up a fourth of the screen anyways.
Yeah.
But that game, they worked really hard to keep at 60 FPS.
Yeah.
And it stays at 60 with two players as well. So it's a very fair effort by them. I don't know. It's weird because certain companies such as EA have been sneaking in terms and conditions when you sign up to play their game online, like FIFA. If you don't read the terms and conditions, but certain terms include, like, you can't sue us if the online breaks down.
Yeah, but those EULAs, the end user license agreements, have, like, never been able to hold up in court. There's a precedence that they don't matter.
Okay.
So. Something about how people don't read them, so they can't be real contracts, and you don't sign them, so yeah. What kind of an agreement is this?
Because I'm so surprised this company that you speak of hasn't sued Rockstar yet, or Take-Two, because on launch of GTA, they advertised that heists were available day one. It's now almost a year. There are no heists.
Oh, the online heists?
Mm-hmm.
There's still no online heist for that?
There's still no online heists. No, the last piece of DLC came out was the Hipster DLC. No, it wasn't Hipster. It was Independence Day DLC. Yeah.
That's interesting.
I mean, I think unless it was advertised on the Killzone box of every mode ever is going to run 1080p 60 frames, we promise, don't you worry, or something like that, like...
Yeah, on the website it just said that it, like, ran at 1080p.
I think, like, when I think of running 1080p 60 frames, I think the campaign, and that's pretty much it.
Well, I think it said the multiplayer does it too, but I don't think that, I don't think that using a bunch of already lower resolution frames, like, to build something that is 1080p, like, necessarily counts. Also, 1080p doesn't... Standards for video are, like, not set very well. Like, 1080p generally means that it's has, like, 1080 vertical lines.
Yeah.
But the standards for 1080p, like, outside of width, are they change. They're not all the same. So you, like, semantically you can argue that 960 by 1080 is 1080p, even though that is not the resolution that people are used to, it still falls within the standards. So there's kind of that issue as well.
I think it's out of hand. Class action lawsuit for a game that isn't delivering to your high standards unless it has been specifically addressed to...
Well, like, the guy wouldn't even know that it's not 1080p unless he, like, went through some crazy extensive tests, which he only knows that the game's not 1080p without the temporal projection or reprojection because someone else went through and, like, posted about it, like, on the internet. About that,
and then
he
saw, like, it, and it's like, they lied to me.
Yeah,
how
something like
they?
That. It's silly. Americans sue over silly things.
Yes. That is true.
Talking about silly things, though, have you guys seen A Fish Plays Pokemon?
Yes.
Get your pants, like, hold on to your pants. It's back again. Twitch has a new Pokemon thing. Fish Plays Pokemon.
Is it the same?
It's a different
guy?
Person.
Oh, different person. Okay.
There are currently 4,000 people watching this fish play Pokemon. I briefly watched it the other day, and it was pretty terrible.
The fish almost died.
Did it?
Yeah, it was actually bobbing up at the top for about half an hour, and then apparently it started moving again. So almost within a day, the fish died.
Well, like, if he, like, so sleeps, pressure. He doesn't really move, but...
No, it was upside down.
Oh.
People were just like, wake up, fishy, wake up, in the chat. Like, it was Finding Nemo. Wake up, fishy!
I decided to jump on it, and they're saying he is dead.
Oh my
gosh.
There you go. Well, that was short-lived, literally.
They actually added a randomizer. So if the fish swam into the randomizer box, it changed where all the buttons went. So yesterday, the fish was swimming all the way on the left on the star button. So it was just start, non-stop.
Yeah, because the fish is always in the fucking top left. So frustrating.
This is a... What a... Wow.
The fish has made no progress. The fish will never finish Pokemon. I feel like that can just like be agreed on. We're all good guys. This fish is never going to finish Pokemon. Also, not that popular. Only 4,000 people were watching it. Which, I mean, like, given the popularity of Twitch Plays Pokemon.
Well, that really, like, it kind of died after the first one. But they did manage to.
You can only really do it once.
Yeah, they managed to finish all the Pokemon games.
All of them, really?
Mm-hmm. They finished X, I think a month ago.
Well,
that was kind of unfair, though, because with Pokemon X and Y, you have Wonder Trade, where you can trade random Pokemon, and someone traded Lord Helix over. So someone was watching the stream, saw that the guy was putting up a Wonder Trade, and gave him an Omanyte. And the chat were like, oh, the Lord has praised us again, all freaking out. But it's surprising how well the success of these streams are doing, and it makes me question what sort of things we're going to see in the future. Caterpillar plays Pokemon, Mouse plays Pokemon, Gerbil plays Pokemon.
I'm done with Puppy plays Pokemon. I don't want to see any more of it at all.
Just go to a nursing home. Elderly man on deathbed plays Pokemon.
I do a Puppy Plays Pokemon. I'd watch that.
Well, a corgi.
Corgi plays Pokemon? Yeah.
Yeah.
Kitten
plays Pokemon.
Pug plays Pokemon. I should have never said that one. If my girlfriend listens to this podcast, I'm in trouble. She has a thing for pugs.
Pugs are amazing. Pugs.
Yeah. You keep posting pugs on your Twitter feed, and I keep having to hear about it. Terry posted about pugs on Twitter. It's like, thanks. I follow him too.
Just wants to let you know.
Yes. All right, let's move on to some other stuff here. So, there's a new Counter-Strike game coming this year.
Counter-Strike versus Zombies?
Yeah. By Nexon Europe, called Counter-Strike Nexon Zombies. Now,
I'll just stick with Killing Floor.
I'm strangely interested in this because I loved the Counter-Strike Source zombie mods. I think that they're the best zombies in video games ever.
Really?
Yes. Did you ever play the Source mods? They were pretty amazing. So you could, like, you would shoot these couches and stuff because you had infinite bullets, like, over top of the doors. But the maps were built in, like, a way where you couldn't, like, put furniture everywhere to barricade yourself in. But you would, like, barricade yourself in. The zombies would, like, stand there. And they'd be, like, stabbing. They stabbed like this. Like, ugh. Like, because it was just, like, the default, like, normal stab that was, like, on the regular models for, like, the quick stab. They would just go like this. But they're, like, in a zombie, like, model. And they just had to stab you once in order to turn you into a zombie. So, like, it would spread really quick. But... People would be trying to, like, stab down the couches while everyone, like, stood there shooting the couches so that they would, like, stay against the wall. It was really amazing.
You're doing audio, remember? How are they going to see you doing the stabbing motion?
So the stabbing motion is they are holding a knife straight forwards with their wrist turned over, like, and their elbow down, and they just stick their arm out, and it looked really lame. But I was playing it once. This has happened multiple times, but, like, everyone's standing in a room, and, like, one person turns into a zombie, and everyone instantly starts shooting him. But because he's being shot by so many people, he, like, gets pushed back by all the bullets and, like, gets pushed into the corner, and he, like, can't move anymore. And he's just standing there, like, nah, 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 while everyone's standing on the other side of this room shooting him, and he can't move, and he's like, nah, nah. And then, obviously, some asshole walks up to him, gets stabbed, and then everyone dies instantly because everyone just turns into zombies.
And then just the process happens.
But it was like...
Is that where... Like, when did that come out?
Source? That came out when Half-Life 2 came out. But like, that mod maybe came out like a year later.
The beginning of like all the kind of zombie-esque multiplayer modes came out.
This was well before that. This was a mod for Counter-Strike Source. This was before Left 4 Dead 1.
Okay. So. Well, I'm thinking of because I know Modern Warfare 2 did some sort of thing like that as well. They had like a zombie mode. I know Halo had a zombie mode, but it was the same thing where it's like everyone had guns, but the zombie had a knife.
Yeah.
And because when you were talking about it, I was like, wow, that sounds very familiar. Like in Call of
Duty. But it was just really good because of the Source physics engine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just really dumb. But there were a few other things that I really liked about that. There was another zombie mod that, like, it was called, like, Zombie Escape. And mm-hmm. everyone, like, starts off as a human, but after 30 seconds, one person, like, a random person turns into a zombie.
Oh.
And so, like, everyone's running down, like, this corridor, basically, to, like, escape. Because, like, if you get to the end of this map, basically, then there's, like, a helicopter, and you, like, fight off at the helicopter for 30 seconds, and, like, the helicopter leaves, and you win. But everyone's running, and then, like, the person in front turns into a zombie and just, like, turns around and kills everyone. It's like, ah, damn it. Or, like, you're running and some dude, like, in the middle of the pack turns into a zombie and everyone behind you, like, dies.
Oh, jeez.
It was really ludicrous. And the zombies were faster than the humans. But there's, like, the humans would, like, get to a bridge and be able to, like, press a button at the end if the zombies hadn't, like, made it there yet. And would be able to, like, break down the bridge to slow down the zombies. But it was always really, really silly because you'd, like, be running and sometimes, like, everyone would be like, fuck you guys, I'm not going to stop to break the bridge because then I'll probably die. So then, like, you'll run across this bridge, no one will stop to press the button, so then everyone dies. Or the first person who gets across the bridge just turns around and, like, destroys the bridge and everyone else falls into the water. Then the zombies jump in and kill them all.
See you later.
Basically.
It reminds me of Zombie Panic Source, which had a survival element where you had to barricade doors and such. But there's a long history of betrayal in that game.
So yeah.
You barricade yourself in that room, I'm just going to take a shotgun and shoot it open. But the Zombie Source games are very popular. And of course, Valve keeps a close eye on them because the original team, which are at Turtle Rock now, made the Counter-Strike Left 4 Dead Source, which would later become Left 4 Dead, the game series. But yes.
Mm-hmm.
Surprising that another Counter-Strike-esque zombie game's coming along, especially with the current success of their camo guns, which I've seen. Because obviously TF2 has its hats, but I never expected camo guns would be such a success. But microtransactions are a thing Valve know how to work well.
Oh, is that the kind of customizable thing in Counter-Strike?
Yeah, basically you can get, like, weapon skins in Counter-Strike, and they work, like, in Dota and in Team Fortress 2, where, like, you're playing, and then you get, like, a chest, but you need a key to open the chest. So then you buy a key, and then you open the chest, and you're like, oh, this is all garbage. But you can sell it all, like, on the Steam marketplace, and Valve takes a cut of every single sale. And so, like, if there's a specific item that you want, you just, like, go on the Steam marketplace and see if it's for sale and, like, could buy it for 50 cents. Or in some cases where there's only, like, 100 of this skin, like, in the whole game, like, only 100 people can have it, then, like, the people who have it sell it for, like, $500.
Gotcha. Do you think Valve is just going to ride on the microtransaction train until that dries up, and then they're like, well, I guess we'll make another game.
I don't think it's going to dry up is the thing. I think that the way that they do it is so fair that there's not, like, they never do it in any way that changes the gameplay. So, like, Dota 2, for example, is the freest game that you could have besides, like, some guy who made, like, a finished game that has nothing ever extra added to it. But, like, those games are not normally the same size as Dota 2. Like, Dota 2 is a AAA title that huge amounts of money have been being put into. You have to monetize it in some way.
Yeah.
But, like, that game, you turn it on and you have every single hero available. Like, you have every single thing that the game has to offer besides cosmetics available to you, like, instantly for free.
It's during the international a way that you could raise money to help the teams competing were to buy special cosmetic items that were only available during the international, and it raised something like well over $2 million.
Oh, are you talking about the compendiums? They were like a book that you bought and could like level up by playing the game, and they raised $10 million.
There you go, $10 million, and that was
that's nuts.
Yeah, the book cost $10 basically, and you could like buy this book, and then $2.50 from it would go to like the prize pool, and the prize pool was over $10 million.
And then you have, of course, then there are like special items which people sell in these marketplaces. I was a big TF2 trader for a while, and I witnessed a hat, an unusual hat, sell for $1,100.
Yeah, there's items like that in Dota 2 too. Like there's this new courier from the international that you could only get if you were at the international, like an attendant at the actual stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a golden Doomling, which is like a chibi version of one of the characters called Doom, and he's gold. And he like is a courier. He just like, which is in Dota 2, you have like a courier for the team that carries items like around. It's just like a little character that everyone can control, and he like takes items from the shop and like brings it to you in lane. Because in Dota 2, unlike in League, you can't like instantly teleport back to town unless you spend gold on it.
Mm-hmm.
So you like buy a courier, and this courier is valued at like over $1,500.
Wow. And then there are certain things such in TF2 where you have to buy a product to get the code to get the item. For example, the metal sandwich, as they say, was a toy you could buy at Comic-Con last year, but it was only at Comic-Con. So you had to buy the sandwich toy to get the code to get it in-game. And that's okay. That's just money going through. It's like, I could buy the toy and then sell the code at the exact price I got the toy.
Yeah, it gets real silly.
It certainly does.
All right, then, now I know.
They'll probably never stop doing it because it works really well for them. And I don't think anyone complains about it because they're, like, really fair in
it's just too
like,
fair
how they
to
give
really
it away.
Or not ban, but
be upset
kind of,
about.
Yeah.
Because it's like, here's the whole game. You can play everything in this game for free. Like, we're just going to do cosmetics. Now, that's not the case with Counter-Strike. I was a little sour about Counter-Strike, but I was like, I get that they're just cosmetics, but the one thing that I kind of liked about Counter-Strike was that there were no cosmetics. Not a big deal, though.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the only one that has a gradual progression, I guess, is TF2, because you can earn the weapons by doing achievements, which you can just go onto an achievement server and boom, you got all the weapons. Or you can trade the weapons or find them in drops. So there's a bit of competitiveness with TF2, but again, the cosmetics you find aren't going to enhance your character's abilities. It's not, say, like you're playing I'm trying to think here of an MMO, like World of Warcraft. Like, you're not going to have to like buy a fedora to improve your stats or whatever in TF2. That doesn't work like that. Each character has their set limitations and strengths.
Okay. Gotcha. It makes sense to me now.
So, we've got two pieces of news left this week. Three pieces of news. So, Crytek has been having some money issues as of late, if you haven't been keeping up on that. They kind of stopped paying their employees a few months ago, which is a big no-no, but a lot of those employees had signed contracts saying they weren't allowed to leave for at least 6 months, so they weren't able to leave the company, but a lot of them who were up for that 6 months were allowed to leave the company, and did, because they weren't getting paid. Yeah. So, as a result of that, Crytek has closed down two studios, and they also sold Homefront, which was the, like, PC shooter that they were making for... Well, not PC shooter, but it was the shooter they were making for THQ. Obviously, THQ went bankrupt. Doesn't exist anymore. Hasn't for about a year. And during the THQ auctions, they bought Homefront, the IP for Homefront, from THQ, because they had, like, made half of this game already. So why, like, throw it away? So they bought that to start making the new Homefront game, or finish making the new Homefront game, but they've ran out of money because, like, very quickly Crytek kind of shifted how it was working, like, as a company. It was a company that was, like, two studios that was doing, like, content production, basically. They had their own engine called CryEngine, but what they were mostly doing was, like, making their own games on that engine. And then in the last couple of months, they've, like, very abruptly shifted from being a company that makes, like, games on CryEngine that are big-budget PC shooters to, yeah, we're making a free-to-play game and, like, doing a free-to-play shooter, and we're publishing content from other people, and, like, they're now, like, a content distributor, and they kind of really quickly, like, moved to service platforms rather than making games. Or at least, like, making their traditional games that they used to make. Like, they make games that are service platforms. Like, Warframe is a service platform, basically. It's a free-to-play shooter where you buy campaigns, like, chunks of campaign, and, like, buy stuff for the multiplayer and stuff.
Is Warframe out?
Yeah,
it's
only
Xbox 360.
Oh.
It's also on Steam. It was out in Russia for a lot longer before, like, they decided to release it here. But, okay. They lost a ton of money on Warframe. They lost a ton of money on Rise. You got it for Xbox One.
Yes, that's kind of their own fault, because Microsoft, it was meant to be an Xbox 360 game. And Microsoft was saying, you know, it's a new IP for us. It's going to be Kinect focused and all that jazz. And Crytek were taking forever to make it. So they put more money into it. Microsoft, they said, okay, we're willing to buy it from you. We're willing to fund it ourselves as long as it's a Microsoft IP. And they said, no, we're funding it ourselves. We're going to keep the IP for ourselves. And the game bombed, ultimately, because...
Because no one bought Xbox Ones?
Yeah, pretty much no one brought an Xbox One. Nobody
who
wanted
would buy
a...
an Xbox One?
Yeah. Who would do such a thing, Ryan?
Okay, well, very few people bought Xbox Ones, like, right at launch.
But now, you can get Rise for $40 on the Xbox One store... So maybe the money will now be rolling in.
They re-released it, by the way.
There's a PC Legendary Edition.
No, they also released Legendary Edition, which has all the DLC with exactly the same price.
That's stupid. But now I know the PC version is going to be in 4K, which is cool, I guess.
That's this fall. I'm not going to buy it. I don't care.
It's a Kinect game at the core, and it doesn't play very well, and... Yeah, it's just...
Is it a Kinect game at the core? Because I've watched people play it and not really use the Kinect at all.
It was a Kinect game. So, like, the animations and motions between button swings, you can tell, like, it was just designed for your arms to flail about like it was iToy or something. They just changed it to button commands at a later date.
Actually, I was... When I saw Rise announced for 360 in Kinect, I was like, this is... will be maybe the Kinect game that I'll buy. And then it came out on the Xbox One, and it looked very stripped down, just quick time events, and that's when I did not buy it. So,
as someone who owns it,
I might have bought it.
Yeah, someone who owns it, don't buy it. But Crytek spent their own money on the project instead of taking Microsoft's money, because Microsoft also went and funded some other games for their studios and such. But one of the studios, the UK studio, Crytek UK, whatever it's called, is now owned by Deep Silver.
Yeah, so that's like that was part of the Homefront acquisition, I think.
Yeah, so I forget what they're called now, but Deep Silver are doing some great things as, like, a publisher, at least, in Europe. I don't know how they're working out in America, but in Europe, if it wasn't for Deep Silver, a lot of the JRPGs and even the Persona game, recent Persona games, would not be coming out in Europe if it was not for Deep Silver.
Yeah, see, those were Atlas over here, but Deep Silver over here, they pretty much only do, like, Risen and Gothic.
And Deep Silver published Saints Row 4.
Oh, and like, Saints Row 4, that's right.
That was when it was, I guess, 80 or 90% done. They're like, oh,
it was
just take
done.
It.
They bought it for a lot of money. Like, a lot of money.
It worked out really well.
Yeah, made them a ton of money. I think Saints Row 4 over here, like, pretty much instantly pushed them to, like, being a real publisher, not just, like, one of those strange European publishers that publishes, like, these small games that aren't very good. Like,
I guess
they're not bad, but they're not, like, good.
Yeah,
were they just publishing... What, just What is it?
They've got Dead Island.
Stuff like that?
Yeah.
They've got Dead Island, Risen, and some other smaller games, which are like mostly arcade-focused. But these days, they've got additional IPs from THQ and other platforms now. They're growing as a publisher, but originally they were a movie company, like a studio, and they're based in Germany. I quite like them for what they've done. Mostly because, like I said, they've done a lot for Europeans in terms of bringing games from Asia over here. So
one of the other things about this Crytek thing is that the Vigil Games like founder, who was running Crytek USA, because Crytek had bought Vigil Games as part of the THQ auctions, but they didn't buy Darksiders IP. That went to Nordic Games. So the guy who was running Crytek USA quit. He resigned and he started a new studio in the same city with the people who were working under him when they were Vigil Games, and the people who like came from Vigil Games kept working under him at Crytek USA, and now they've all left to go make Gunfire Games, which is basically, they did it for a couple reasons. One, they didn't really like the project that they were working on. Two, they weren't really getting paid. There were money issues, and people were like, "We're leaving the company that they had, who had like been on the team since they were Vigil Games working under THQ." So basically, they all decided to leave and make a new company since they weren't really getting paid, and they're apparently in discussions to do some stuff with Darksiders, which, I don't know if you played Darksiders, but that was one of my favorite games. Darksiders 1 and 2. They're basically like a darker, more adult version of Zelda with better combat.
Platinum Games tried buying the team.
They tried buying the IP, not the team.
That's it, yeah, the IP, sorry. But they were actually contacting team members after they failed to obtain the IP, saying, "We've got jobs opening in Platinum." So hopefully some of the more skilled members of the team ended up at Platinum, because I love Platinum Games.
I think a lot of them stayed at, well, we're at Crytek USA, like a lot of them, because moving to Platinum, that's a long way to move from Austin. Like, I don't think Platinum has a USA studio, so I mean, that's a big commitment.
Yeah.
To move across the world to a country that doesn't speak your language, to work on a team that probably doesn't speak your language.
But the universal language is games. That's the universal language.
That's super useful when you're trying to document your code.
That would be super, like, if Platinum were to ever get like Darksiders or any IP like that, that would be awesome.
Well, they're doing that new game with Activision.
Yeah, that one was the Dragons.
Dragon and iPods and headphones.
No, that's with Xbox. Apparently they're working on an Avatar game.
Oh, the Legend of Korra game.
I forgot that they were doing that Korra game.
I still need to play Revengeance for Metal Gear Solid Revengeance.
That game's really good. That's like one of the best Metal Gear fighters I've ever played. It's bonkers. I have it on PC.
The end boss is just, it fits so well together.
Yeah.
Can't wait. Looking forward to it. And I got a stack of games that I'm slowly going through. So
it's not the longest game in the world either. You could probably do it in a sitting if you just breeze through it.
All right.
It's hard. That's what I found. I have troubles with some of the bosses. Not the bosses, but some of the characters. I was playing it on the hardest difficulty right away, and I dropped it down to normal after I like had to fight a Metal Gear a few times. And I was like, you know what? Fuck this. Too hard. I got bad at games at some point. A little sour.
It's okay.
But yeah, with Crytek selling a bunch of stuff, they are apparently in a much more financially secure like place, and that they will hopefully not go bankrupt.
I really don't, like, after Crysis 3 and Rise, I really don't know anything that Crytek has really notably done.
Well, they did Far Cry 1, Crysis 1 was really good, Crysis 2 was good, And then they make CryEngine, which is a crazy
engine. And that's,
engine.
Like, I've noticed, like, Crytek and also, like, Epic, they're just like, yeah, just use our engine. Here's this. Like, it,
well,
it seems like
it's a very,
just...
it's very lucrative. Those
mm-hmm.
cost
yeah.
millions and millions of dollars to make, but if you can get the, like, $50,000 licensing fee from the company that only makes $100,000 a year, then
mm-hmm.
a lot of money. Because it's the price of those engines scales up based on how much money you make.
Yeah.
Like,
I
with Unity, you're
what...
allowed to publish using the engine as long as you don't make $100,000 a year, at which point you have to buy, at which point it's $1,500 a computer, like, in the office.
Okay.
So if you're a one-person team, then it's $1,500. If you're a 10-person team, it's $15,000 now. So...
Nope.
Which is one of the issues that, like, we're going through at work. It's like, we need a, like, Unity Pro license, but you're not allowed to publish one, like, when you buy it, you're not allowed to buy it for one computer. Because
mm-hmm.
what they don't want you doing is using Unity, like, free to do the whole development process and, like, go on your Unity Pro machine and then take out, like, the Unity Splash logo and, like, put in your own custom logos and do all this stuff that you can only do with Unity Pro right at the end of the game development. And then...
Hmm.
Be like, yep, $1,500 for this game that where we like should have had 20 licenses.
I think both Epic and Crytek are just going to have that as their, you know, their kind of funding while maybe make new games. Like, I know new Unreal coming out sometime.
Well, I mean, Epic's doing other stuff. They're making that
Fortnite.
Engine, but there's Fortnite, but also you have to remember, like, who owns Epic. It's 2K, or it's Take-Two, who own, like, Rockstar and a bunch of other people, too, so.
Isn't, 2K. What is it, Nexon?
Take-Two.
Nexon owns Epic, right?
Or I thought
they
were owned by Take-Two.
It's a Chinese company.
Take-Two. Don't they?
I thought Take-Two was 2K and Rockstar. It could
mm-hmm.
be part of it. I'm not entirely sure.
I think Epic
companies.
Is a, I want to say the majority or a large chunk of their stock is bought from Nexon.
Oh, maybe.
And everyone, when they heard that news, everyone was worried. It's like, oh no, they're going to do free to play. And I think like a Epic or Maple Story is going to run on Unreal Engine.
That sounds scary.
Come in the PS4 and Xbox One, Maple Story, HD.
I could be completely wrong, and I've fabricated this whole story.
Maybe on Kotaku tomorrow, talking about fabricating game companies and such.
Kotaku tomorrow, Maple Story
Tencent.
HD on
That's
Xbox
who owns
One?
Them.
Tencent, okay.
While they don't own all of them, they own 48.4% of them.
Gotcha.
Tencent is also the company that owns Riot.
Oh, okay.
Like Riot Games.
Mm-hmm. Not Nexon. Tencent.
Yeah, they own... Yeah, Epic and Riot are their subsidiaries.
But they're making loads of money.
Oh, yeah. That's a big company. They're like one of the
mm-hmm.
biggest companies in the world. All right.
Crazy.
We've got one last piece of news before I ask you the one question that I was told to ask you in Twitch. So, Sierra Entertainment's back. Probably.
Hey, cool.
Their website's back up. They're doing a King's Quest game, it looks like. That was what the teaser looked like.
I'm down with that. They're supposed to premiere something at Gamescom this week?
Yeah, the teaser that they revealed is for, well, probably is for King's Quest. So, about halfway through last year, Activision acquired the rights to King's Quest, and so Telltale was, like, no longer doing a reboot for King's Quest, is basically what they had to announce. And Activision has announced, like, revealed a trailer for King's Quest and, like, the Sierra website is back up, if you haven't seen it.
I would be up for a Telltale King's Quest. That made me sad when you told me that they don't have the rights to it anymore.
They are not doing a Telltale King's Quest, but Yes, yeah, Sierra was bought in 2008 when Vivendi like merged it with Activision.
Gotcha.
Oh man, I didn't know that Sierra published Half-Life and Counter-Strike and the Crash Bandicoot games and Spyro.
Well, now I think Spyro is, well, no, Spyro is still under Activision. So.
Yeah,
Spyro is his own entity now with Skyforce, but Skylanders, sorry. Why am I thinking Skyforce? But I don't
but
think
nobody
Crash...
cares about Spyro specifically.
Yeah, but I
Crash... he's just another Skylander now.
Yeah, Crash should just be a Skylander. That's what they should do. Just a Crash series of Skylanders.
Who owns Crash? I thought
Microsoft.
Activision. Activision's.
Oh, Activision, really?
Activision owns Crash Bandicoot.
All right then. Okay.
And he's just been sitting around.
Not doing anything for years.
His Dante reboot, if you want to call it that, didn't work out. Well, see, he had like tribal tattoos on his arms and jeggings.
I didn't see that.
Oh, I didn't know which one you're talking about.
The last Crash Bandicoot like reboot they attempted, like he had tribal tattoos on both of his arms and he had like those John Cena jort things. It was something, to say the least.
So he looks like he started to take meth, basically.
Yeah.
He became a drug addict and then, decided to come back. And...
Yeah, Dog the Bounty Hunter's after him. It's like, that's what's happened.
All right, then.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, new King's Quest game, man. I'm super excited to play a game where I eat a pie because I'm starving to death in the desert, and then I can't beat the game anymore because I ate the fucking pie, and you needed the pie is like a key object in the game. Not that they tell you that the pie is a key object in the game. By the way, I'm really sour about having eaten that pie in King's Quest once because I had to start the game over.
I can tell. When did this happen? Many, many years ago, and you're
many,
still
many years
on to
ago,
it?
I'm still holding on to it.
Can't let it go.
But the fact that you're playing an adventure game and it's just like, you ate the pie, game over, and it's like, you fucking kidding me? I'm starving to death. Of course I ate the pie.
What other,
and that's
what
his voice
Sierra
broke
games
as well.
What other point and click Sierra games were there?
Phantasmagoria and Gabriel Knight.
I'll play if they make a Phantasmagoria 3, I'd play that.
They're making a new Gabriel Knight. The person who made the first two is making Gabriel Knight. I know,
there
because Scarfu has
games.
Been very...
Oh, it says all the games Sierra Games made. I'm looking at Phantasmagoria. Space Quest.
Obviously. Was there not like a Police Quest?
I want to say that there was. Apparently Sierra made, or either published or made, SWAT.
That was good. Especially
Police
in the cult
Quest,
house.
SWAT 2. So I guess Police Quest turned into SWAT.
Well then.
But I'd be.
I love the
I'd
cover
a,
for
I'd
Police
be down
Quest.
For a Phantasmagoria 3.
It's going to be interesting to see what comes out of that, because basically, if this King's Quest game is popular, like it makes a lot of money, then it kind of proves that genre is like back for more than just Telltale, and maybe we'll start seeing more point and clicks come out.
I mean,
as long as not the Jurassic Park.
Yeah. I feel like you could make a good Jurassic Park point and click. They just didn't.
Yeah, that never even came out in Europe.
Really?
It was that bad. Yeah, they didn't even publish it here. It was that bad.
Well, then.
It does not exist. Like, I told friends about it. It's like, what, Telltale's Jurassic Park, when's that out? Oh, it's been out. Just, you won't ever get to play it.
That's a disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
But the Back to the Future came out here, but only on the Wii.
Hmm.
Really?
Interesting. Well, then.
I think point-and-click adventure games have kind of had a resurgence, so maybe this is why they brought back Sierra, so... There's only one way to find out at Gamescom. Games.com.
Gamescom is such a long con. It's hard. Like, the first week of it is all a trade show, and then, like, there's, like, a second week almost, which is, like, open public days. It's huge. It's, like, twice the size of E3. Like, physically, that, like, it is twice the size. It's a big, big show.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm excited to see it.
I just have to ask you this one question because Korik decided to tell me to ask you it. I don't know who they are. They asked it, though. But they want to know what your process was for making RVGC.
It originally started with... So I used to be on Normal Boots back in the day, and we were trying to fill content, and we didn't have anything written. And so I decided to write down something really quickly, and I did a quote-unquote review on, I think, a Kirby game for the Game Boy, which I actually wrote it up on my iPhone, so there was a whole bunch of typing errors, and I just kept it like that, and then... I did the review in front of a green screen, and it was stupid, and then I put it up there because we needed to, I think we had every Monday, we had to have something, and then I put it up there, and it was horrible, but then John said, hey, this is pretty funny, and so I kept doing it, and then we stopped being on Normal Boots, but that's another story for another time.
Yeah, that sounds like more personal. I know every time that I hear anything about Normal Boots is like, good and bad things that don't really need to be talked about.
Yeah, I mean,
not for the internet to know.
So, but that's how RVGC got started. And then the resurgence was I wanted to do something super stupid again. And now that's what I do. It's basically a test in it, or it's a challenge for me in After Effects. Every episode I try to push myself to make it wackier in After Effects. So it's like almost training.
And learn like a new thing.
Yeah, so pretty much. And that's RVGC, just a tutorial for me.
I have a question. Do you know what Kirby game that you did?
Kirby's, the original Kirby game on the Game Boy.
Ah.
Kirby and Dream Land, I think.
Hmm.
It's super fun. That was actually my first Game Boy game. That and a Crash Dummies game.
By mentioning Kirby, you reminded me of a game that I decided to come up with that I'm going to do after this current one that I'm making. The current one I'm making is called Major Laser because someone pointed out that my name was dumb. My working title name was Super Ultra Laser, which is a dumb name for a game. But also, it doesn't really flow nearly as well as Major Laser. But I was like, but there's an artist called Major Laser, and that doesn't mention the space thing. So the game name actually is now Space Major Laser. Was my compromise. Space Major Laser, because he's a space major, and he's got a laser. Mm-hmm. And I realized there was a game, Kirby Tilt and Tumble.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I could do this on a phone, and it would actually be, like, good. I'm totally going to make that. So my follow-up to Space Major Laser is Space Major Tilt and Tumble. So that I can be sued by Nintendo. Listen, if the game's so popular, they realize it exists, and I get sued, it means I made it.
There you go. That means they're noticing you.
We'll talk about me getting sued on the podcast next year.
Ooh, that'd be an exciting story.
Yeah.
I want to be on that one.
So dumb. But yeah, I was like, I should make that as a game. I'll probably prototype that out, like, when I get back in
September. Do it. I like it.
That's a legit game. That would work on a phone. Just make small levels.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, the phones have all phones these days have whatever gyroscopic. Yeah.
Yeah, they have an accelerometer in them, so you can tell their tilt. I would have to figure out how to use them, but besides that. So let's wrap this thing up. We've been going for a while now. Thank you, Ryan and Terry, for coming on for this week's episode of the podcast, episode number 68.
Pleasure as always.
It was good. There was not a lot to talk about as far as news goes, but
that's all right.
We had like 5 items. That was a lot of news.
Yeah, I guess. We missed. We didn't do an episode last week. That's why there was 5. Otherwise, there would have been like 2. But thank you guys for coming on, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for watching and or listening to the podcast, and we will see you guys next week. Goodbye.
Have fun. Have a great day.